Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Everybody, I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Thursday, June 23rd, 2011, episode 169, sponsored by EZSignsOnline.com. Good morning, Horse World.
Good morning!
It's Thursday.
Kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you to Lisa for asking on the Facebook page if Jennifer and I were still here. Yes, we are fine. Lexington didn't have too much trouble last night. Now, when I was going to bed last night, about 10:30, I checked the weather and noticed that there were several tornado warnings in Louisville, and that they had spotted a funnel cloud and all that stuff. And I thought, well, that's going to be coming our way. But I went to bed anyway, and all we got out of it was very heavy rains. But Churchill Downs didn't fare so well. For those of you getting up this morning and haven't checked the news yet, Churchill Downs, home of the Kentucky Derby, took a hit from a tornado last night and did some damage on the backside.
A bunch of the
barns were, well, one of them was pretty much collapsed, some roofs gone, horses loose. And then there's also a picture, and Jennifer, if you could post that Kentucky.com link, there's a picture of the street outside, and anybody that's been to Churchill Downs knows that it's in a very urban area, and houses all around it. And there's the street, all the telephone poles are just laying over on their side. It looks like it went through and just pushed over the telephone poles like a bulldozer went through.
Now, Glenn, before we go any further, you must say that at Churchill Downs, yes, there was a lot of damage. However, no horses or people were hurt. Amazingly enough, the fact that this funnel cloud tornado goes right through the middle of it, rips roofs of barns off. What I read was that there was horses loose, horses are running around everywhere. They've canceled racing for today. They've moved a bunch of the horses. They've relocated them. They were doing the van companies all night long to get everybody out of there. So the good news is no horses were hurt. Thank God.
And there's a college, if you remember right, if you go to Churchill Downs and you sit in the bleachers, you see a stadium right near the complex, and that's a college there, and there was nobody hurt at the college either. So it looks like it was a little tornado. It was interesting. It didn't touch the big spires or anything. It didn't touch any of the main area where the people go. It was the backside of the track. It was pretty selective on what it touched, and you're absolutely right. With the damage that was done, when you see the pictures, you'll see what kind of damage that was done. It was amazing. One of the barns looks like it was almost completely collapsed, that there wasn't any horses hurt. That is an amazing thing, actually.
Yeah, it absolutely is. So, well, that's good. So it's a bright spot because it could have been a lot worse. Bad news, though, the Churchill Downs was hit. The other good news, the spires are fine. The famous roof at Churchill Downs are totally fine. The photographs of down the home stretch they come will continue. It'll be fine. They're still there.
But it does continue the whole holy cow with the weather this year.
Yeah, you guys have had bad.
Geez, it's just been something else. All right, well, let's get to today's show. Jennifer's going to tell us what's coming up today.
On today's Crazy Addicted Horse People Gabbing About Other Crazy Addicted Horse People Thursday edition, we have an appointment with Dr. Jen Oakley, the Love Doctor, and today's question, to dump or not to dump? And the Chronicle Report will be here with an update on what's hot and what's hilarious on the Chronicle forums, everybody's favorite place to waste their day. And to wrap the morning, Dan Stewart will be here to tell us about a brand new learning opportunity that he's launching this evening. You'll want to stay tuned for that.
Thank you, Jennifer. My daily winning today is to Susan Nelson, who decided to take it upon herself and do some research for us. And she posted on her Facebook page, been doing some research on wolves. There are no wild wolves in Kentucky. They have not been reintroduced there. What you saw was either a large coyote, which it was not, I pretty much determined that, or an escaped exotic pet or hybrid. There is a wolf refuge south of Lexington called Wolf Run in Nicholasville. You might call them to see if they had any escapees. What I apparently must have seen was either a large exotic dog or some kind of critter out of a horror movie. One or the other. I'm sticking to that.
Susan, again, is the person that listens to our show that just corrects us. Like, she is our quality control officer.
That's right. That's correct. That's what she does for us. She's quality control. No question about it. Hey, I'm about to post a picture because that leads me to a... Let me find it here. That leads me to something I wanted to chat with Jamie about. I know your answer to this, but I wanted to post a picture anyway. So the other day, we stopped. Well, let's start here. As you know, I've been kind of half-heartedly looking for a greyhound.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a second here.
Oh, my God. Did you get enough?
I didn't say that.
Okay. Don't give me all excited like that.
So I've been watching the Shamrock Greyhounds website for a long time, probably about a year. And I keep
seeing
this.
You fell in love with
them. Yeah, well, I keep seeing this one. It's a little, I want a little female. And I mean little. Our last female was almost 70 pounds. I want one that's like 50 pounds. I want a little one.
Oh, so little, 50 pounds, okay.
Yeah, I want a little one that's like in fighting weight to the beast so that they can go at it. So I've been watching one called Glory, and this poor little dog has been on, by the way, go look at Facebook. Go to our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, everybody. So this poor little dog named Glory has been on there forever, forever and ever. Do you see her?
She's so cute.
Isn't she cute? Well, and they don't have an especially cute picture on the website. Well, I found out that they have a Facebook page, so I joined their Facebook page. And I was thinking, and Jennifer and I were talking over the weekend and everything, and we went down to actually meet some greyhounds and at the PetSmart. And then I said, I wonder how Glory's doing. I asked them, and they didn't know. Well, then Monday morning, guess who they post about? They post about Glory, and they put up that picture. She's at a foster home right now. Isn't she the cutest thing ever? Don't you think that's kind of like an omen?
It's a sign, Glenn. It's a sign. There's an update on the horse, about the size of a horse, the dog that you've been looking at forever, the poor thing. You're wasting time. You're wasting precious time that you could have this angel baby face in your house right now. But no, you left her at a foster home for over a year. Got to get on that. Get that dog. Go get it today.
Glenn says, get a whippet instead. No, they're too wild. One of the things we like, let me tell you the difference between whippets and greyhounds. One of the things we like about greyhounds is 99% of the time they lay around sleeping and doing nothing. They like that. That's what they like to do. They like to cuddle up and sleep. Whippets mm-hmm. are just like little Jack Russells. They're going all the time. And so that's why we like a greyhound. Plus, this little one, I think she's like 48 pounds. So she's not too much bigger than a whippet anyway.
What are you waiting for?
Okay, I'll tell you what I'm waiting for. This is my dilemma. By the way, if she came with the glasses, I'd probably consider it. So what I'm waiting for is, you know, when you go away, it's such a pain in the ass. That's what I'm waiting for. I just have this thing in my head that when we go away, what are we going to do with her? We have nobody to take care of her. That's where I'm running into trouble.
Oh, my gosh. Don't lie to me right now, because I was at your house, Glenn, and you're the lady who takes care of your horse, that boards your horse, dropped her dog off at your house. When you already had company that was allergic to your cat already, then she drops off a long-haired dog. So she owes you. How do you, what do you mean? She actually, you watch her dog for free. I don't see what the problem is here.
I think you notice who is not chiming in into this conversation at all, don't you? Did you notice that?
She's over it, and she's mad at me for encouraging you to get a dog. But
yeah, she's not. You see if you get a paycheck next week.
but you're wasting time. You're wasting time. These
you
dogs,
know what'll happen,
you know?
Don't you? Your paycheck next week will be minus the adoption fee.
Yeah. You know what, Glenn? I'll gladly contribute to the fund. I can give at least $12, $13 of my ginormous paycheck to donate. To keep that and put it towards the spay and neuter or whatever. I don't know. Do it.
She looks cute, though, doesn't she? Yeah. She's a cutie.
I told Glenn that we can get a Greyhound if he's willing to get a minivan so that she can travel with us.
Well, she can travel in the back of our car. That's no problem. No.
They curl up like little footballs. So
yeah, this is a little one. She could sit in the back seat.
Bam Bam did not curl up.
No, Bam Bam. Our last one wasn't so curly.
She took
didn't
up
curl
the space
well.
Of a dog twice her size.
Anyway, well, I might have to just pursue that a little bit today.
Yeah, it's a sign. It is a sign.
That's what I thought, too, because it's like I hadn't seen anything about this dog in 6 months. And then all of a sudden, I start thinking about it, and there she is with sunglasses on.
Yeah, so cute.
All right, do you have one?
Yes. Now, my Daily Winnie is kind of an update. It kind of goes out to Boyd Martin and his entire farm. There is an update on Eventing Nation on all the horses that were hospitalized. So I was just going to go over that real quick, if that's all right with you guys, Glenn.
Yep.
Cool. Well, yep. Neville, which is the horse that was really, really had a lot of windpipe damage and is also the cribber, they've been putting him in the hyperbaric oxygen chamber for an hour each day at Fairhill. And they scoped Neville on Tuesday, said he's totally healing, and Boyd rode him for the first time yesterday. So
that's great. And that horse, Neville Bartos,
amazing.
Is that horse. That's Neville Bartos, and that's his Rolex horse, his four-star horse. So.
Yeah, three-star, yeah. Amazing horse, so it's a big deal. Catch a Star has been using the hyperbaric chamber. That's Caitlin's horse, and Caitlin has been taking Hoku up to, which is the Catch a Star's horse, Hoku, the barn name, up to Fairhill. They've been also in the hyperbaric chamber. She colicked early on, but the burns are healing well, and the colic has worked its way through. Otis Barbottieri, that Chris from the Eventing Radio Show is cringing as I pronounce these names. He's been under attack a few times. Looks good to be moving forward. Ambassador's Rose was least affected by the fire, and oh my gosh, she competed at Plantation Field on June 11th. And then she was sold last weekend. So apparently she's doing fine. And then Minitieri du Passois, Chris is cringing. Apparently that one is the one that's been doing the worst. He actually had major colic surgery last week. He's not been doing very well. So he arrived home on Tuesday, and the vets are optimistic after the colic surgery. But the good news is most of them seem to be going the right way, or all of them do. And the fact that all these horses were hospitalized from a humongous barn fire and they're all home and still alive is just, first of all, it's amazing. Second of all, it's a credit to owners who, you know, paid the money and went through the treatments and didn't just go, oh, put them down. And it's a credit to the New Bolton Center and Fairhill and all them for doing such an amazing job. So they get my Daily Winnie. The whole group involved, all of you, well done.
Good show. All right, and the other couple other things. Jamie, I have a job. I have a new job for you. You're always whining that you don't get paid enough with this one. So
oh, yeah.
I think that we have something. You could win $100,000. All 5 foot two of you could win $100,000. You must weigh all of about 100 pounds. Well, this job only requires you to wear 200 pounds of armor and ride a very large warhorse. So now
okay.
They're casting for all of you out there. Robert Dunn's listening today. You listen up here, Robert. Enough of that dressage stuff. You need to do something, get some excitement in your life. and this is how you can do it. They're now casting Horsemen and Warriors for History Channel's Full Metal Jousting. It's a new reality show. And, you know, these are the same people that did Top Shot. Remember we had the guy from Top Shot on? And
yeah.
The Ultimate Fighter and all those, you know, all those cool shows. Well, now what they're looking for is skilled horseback riders that have a heart of a warrior. And you can win $100,000. All you have to do is joust. You just have to, you know, run at each other with lances and beat each other with swords. They're actually casting for this right now. And they're
okay, what was that movie with Heath Ledger where he was jousting? A Knight's Tale. I loved that movie. I thought it was awesome. I thought it was, like, such a fantastic movie that, you know, it was, like, kind of like a modern day, in the past, jousting King Arthur Knights Around Table kind of movie, and he was jouster. And so he's jousting over and over and over again, and the guy looked like he was in pain the entire time, in pain. And then there was one point where the joust actually slipped and broke off, and he had this giant chunk of wood stuck into his shoulder and arm. I would like to joust only if I can squish Alan from the Western Radio Show. Can you pick who you joust against?
Alan's about 6'4", and well, you know what's interesting, though? A lot of people think, you know, back into the Middle Ages, back 1600s, 1700s, when they used to do the joust, that the knights were these big, strapping guys like we imagine today, you know, our big boxers and everything. They weren't. If you see real suits of armor in museums, they're teeny. They're your size. These guys were little. It's amazing how little they were. When you see the suits of armor, you go, oh, my God. So they weren't not as big as you think they were. So this should be interesting. And, of course, everybody knows that we used to do the Renaissance fairs, and, of course, they had jousting there. And we've seen, I don't know if Jennifer remembers this, the one day of course, that's all staged, and they were supposed to be rehearsed and things, but occasionally accidents happen, like they hit you full on. And that's what happened the one day. They would use breakaway lances. The lances at the end would be like balsa wood. They would just splinter so that it would take most of the blow to the chest and to the armor. Well, the one day the lance splintered, but the wooden part, the actual part of the lance that wasn't breakaway, caught the guy underneath the chest plate, picked him up right off his horse, and laid him down, his back on one of the posts, the stanchions that was standing up. And they did take him off to the hospital.
Okay.
That was one of the most dramatic things I'd ever seen.
That would be a victory for the other guy.
Yeah,
that would be a win.
That was definitely a victory.
Yeah,
when the other guy goes away
in the
hospital.
Say what?
When your opponent goes off to the hospital, it is a victory for you, yes.
Yes. Do you cheer or do you? Okay. If you knock
that
them off the horse and they...
I'll tell you, that one scared people because, you know this is fake and they all have it rehearsed and everything. But when you see something like that happen, you just know it wasn't rehearsed, you know?
Yeah. Now, I'm looking at this website, Glenn, for the jousting casting call. And there are a few, if you go to pilgrimfilms.tv and click on casting, there are some other shows that we can get involved with because I really don't think I'm going to be able to hold a lance or wear 200 pounds of armor and ride a horse. It's just probably not going to happen. However, they are now casting for this would definitely not be me. The Sci-Fi Channel is casting adventurers to survive the scariest week of their lives. Would you spend the night in a haunted house just because someone dared you? Or are you brave enough to spend 1 week in one of the scariest places on Earth? No, I'm not. There's no amount of money.
You're
not doing that one. Let's see. My Fair Wedding is now casting. WE TV's hit series My Fair Wedding is casting Los Angeles Brides. I'm already married.
Have our couple could sign up for that.
Oh my gosh, and they've been ring shopping. Roger and Katie,
TV for you, baby.
Roger and Katie, I'm sending you this My Fair Wedding but they're not in L.A., but that's okay. They can pretend. That or you can be a ghost hunter. And I think I've heard Jennifer talking about being on the show. So, Jennifer, do you want to be a ghost hunter?
She loves ghost hunter.
I want to be the guy that locks the door and locks them in. I don't want to be the one inside
ghost hunters. I can't stand that show. It's just so fake. I just can't stand that show.
Oh, my
but
God.
She loves it.
I hear something. I heard something. Play the tape back. And it's like silence. And it's like boom. You're like, that's what you heard on the tape? That's lame.
Hey, obviously somebody else has watched that show, too. Hey, have you ever watched the – well, I see commercials for it. I've not watched it. The Big Fat Gypsy Wedding or whatever, the Redneck Gypsies. Did you ever see that?
I saw about 15 minutes of one of those because I know you watch all these random reality shows that I don't. And now that I'm stuck in the house from about noon till 6 because it's too hot outside, I've been flipping through these. And the gypsy thing is freaky. This girl, this poor girl, is marrying this gypsy. By the way, she's like 17, he's 19. And they went trailer shopping, but not like a trailer that lives on, you know, a ground in a trailer park. They actually went for like a camper type trailer shopping thing. And they were like, oh, this one has a bathroom. We don't want that one. They didn't want a bathroom in it. It's bizarre. They're like, no, it's like some gypsy, like it's gypsy magic to use the bathroom in the forest or something. I don't know. And this poor girl's not a gypsy, and she's marrying a gypsy. She's 17, he's 19. It was ridiculous. Is that what show you were talking about? Because I
yeah, that's the one. So it's as bizarre as I thought it was, huh?
Yes, but nothing pleases me more than to watch the Amish reality shows. Those make me happy.
There was Chris showed me. By the way, you said Chris earlier was cringing when you're saying the names. I think she cringes the entire show, to be honest with you.
Probably.
But she showed me the other day, if anybody wants to chuckle sometime, go to YouTube and look up Kentucky Turtle Man or Turtle Hunter. And you're going to get these videos of this guy who hunts turtles in Kentucky. He goes into these lakes and ponds. And he just walks in, and he walks around with his bare feet until he finds these big, fat turtles at the bottom, and he pulls them up out, and the guy must have one tooth. And it is just the funniest thing to watch this guy talk. Just to hear him talk is funny. But anyway, I had to bring that up.
Turtle, okay.
Look, Kentucky Turtle Hunter. He's a chuckle. Oh, Jennifer. Now, Jennifer's mixing it up here. Look at this. She goes, she posts now. See, the problem we're having also with the greyhound thing is Jennifer likes the brown and white ones, and I like the brindle ones. And that's the problem we're having. It's because she likes brown and white, and I like brindle. And the last one was brindle. I'm not such a big fan of the brown and white ones. So what she do, she posts, how about a pair of greyhounds? I couldn't convince her to get one, and now she's talking about two.
Yeah, I was just thinking that, because obviously Chad and I wanted a black and white puppy. He wanted a brown and white puppy, so we got both. Make everybody happy. Get two. They'll play with each other. It's awesome. God, I'm brilliant. I mean, you're brilliant, Jennifer. You get both.
How can you get that little face? That's obviously he just jumped off the boat, or in this case, the transport from wherever he came from. He's all straggly and dirty and the cute little face going, please love me.
Actually, he looks terrified, yeah.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, my God, get him. He's even cuter. You're right. I like that color better, Jennifer.
Oh, shut up. You're not supposed to be defending her. I'm your co-host.
I think she's right. Hey, first of all, keep looking. Obviously, Jennifer's getting excited about it, too, so she just doesn't like to admit it. However, we were talking about Chris. And she now obviously does the eventing radio show and the dressage radio show, and she's kind of highfalutin. Well, I have a breaking dressage news story.
A breaking story.
Breaking.
I don't have breaking story music.
Breaking news story for dressage, and I'm a scooper because this is a big deal, and I'm just gonna read this the way that it's presented, the way that it's written, because I don't want to go off course. and Gulf Track. I don't want to mess it up. Okay.
Not you.
Yeah, not me. I would never do that. Stay focused all the time. Okay, so gold medal was won for the hosts at the Central Asia Dressage Champs. The host nation of Kazakhstan clinched gold in both the FEI Intermediate 1 and FEI Freestyle Intermediate 1 classes at the FEI Central Asia Dressage Championships 2011 in Almaty over the weekend. In a pitched battle between two seasoned riders during which good fortune swung in both directions, Sergey Bulkevich claimed Intermediate number 1 title with Ispovdnik, while Natalia Yurkovich squeezed ahead of Bulkevich to take the FEI Freestyle Test with Don Petro. Judges Ludmila Gleb, Peter Engel, and Elena Kusterbova put him to the top of the 19-strong field that included representatives from neighboring Uzbekistan and Kyrgyzstan. A score of 65.658 left Bulkevich almost 0.4% ahead of Yurkovich, while fellow Kazakh Kitsinania Dubotiseva slotted in third with Daryl ahead of Yurkovich again this fourth, this time partnering with Atlantis. The first visitors in the lineup was Elena Chistyakova with Secret, who, however, was more than 5.5 behind the winning score when claiming fifth place.
Very well done.
Where's my applause? That was awesome.
I didn't have the applause button ready because I was looking on our list of countries to see if we have any listeners in Kazakhstan and Kazakhstan. And we don't. We don't have any listeners in Kazakhstan.
I was going to say, that's why I'm doing these international stories. You said we needed to be more international friendly, Glenn. So I thought it was very important to cover that story. And
we do have a lot of listeners. You know, the Russian Federation is number 5. So, you know, that could be one of those countries. I'm not sure. I'm not sure
it's
at all.
It's not actually Kazakhstan, no, but it's close. And they might be interested in Natalia Yurkovich squeezing ahead of Bojkovic to take the FEI freestyle. I mean, come on. I do find it funny that the only thing I screwed up on was 65. The number. good touch.
Well, this show, for what it's worth, is sponsored by EasySignsOnline.com. Visit our friends at EasySignsOnline.com and browse their unique website to see their many custom sign options and styles. Their step-by-step sign ordering process allows you to choose your sign options and to see all the pricing up front, from vinyl banners, magnetic vehicle signs, stall nameplates, farm entrance signs, and all the signs we use here at the Horse Radio Network. When we go out to shows, our banners and our signs and everything are from Easy Signs Online. Their new East England-style line of signs, like the one Jamie got, are very popular for horse farms. With literally hundreds of combinations of options available, you'll be able to create the custom signs you've always wanted. They even look good with cactuses below them. Remember, you only get one chance to make a good first impression. A beautiful farm entrance sign from Easy Signs Online gets that done. They ship to every state in the U.S., so take advantage of their current free shipping promotion today. And by the way, free shipping when you're ordering a frickin' big sign isn't a big deal, because it's expensive to ship these babies. And that's EasySignsOnline.com.
I'm posting online right now because Aubrey Miller said that I can do jousting, but what I really need to do is take up the sport of pool noodle jousting. I have two pool noodles out back in our pool, so that's a fantastic idea. Only my horse had brakes. Like, he will go, but he won't stop. So you'd go jousting, and I'd run by, and then you'd see me just keep on going. Trying to stop him.
Well, we're up for our first guest is here this morning, and we get her on regularly. She's my friend that I met a couple years ago doing shows here. And she is Dr. Jen Oakley. We call her the Love Doctor. And she comes on to talk to us about love doctoring things. And today we're going to talk about something that came up in the show a little bit ago. And that was when you have when you have it, when you're a horse crazy girl, I guess it could be a horse crazy guy, although you don't hear it that way too often. When you're a horse crazy girl and you meet the boyfriend, a new boyfriend who's not horse crazy at all and really is becoming an obstacle in your horse relationship, the question is, when do you try and create a balance and when do you dump one of them? And we all know that the one of them. We know which one that is. So let's say good morning to the love doctor, Dr. Jen.
Good morning, guys. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Hey. You're welcome. Thanks for getting up early in Colorado to visit with us.
I know. You guys always get me out of bed, so that's good. The sun is shining today, and we're happy to be here.
Good. You can go back to bed after we're done. I give you permission.
Thank you.
All right. After you feed the horses. See, you got to do that. See, that's the other thing about horse girls when you think about it, Dr. Jen. If you get up at like 6 o'clock and you think, I got to get up for something that only takes 15 minutes, you feel guilty if you go back to bed and don't go out and feed the horses first, don't you?
You know, I'm lucky enough to have a horse husband that I may get up to feed the
horses.
Yeah,
girl.
So you don't have
but
this problem of creating the balance.
No, and if he's up for more than 15 minutes before he feeds the horses, I say, now, those horses are hungry. It's time to get going. So, I'm very blessed in that respect. I have never had to choose, and you and I have had this chat before, and I always say it's best to find yourself a good horse husband, and then you don't have to choose. But not everyone is so lucky.
But, you know, I wasn't a good horse husband when we first met. I mean, I was one of those guys that kind of resented that the horses were taking so much time. I think every new boyfriend to a horse girl goes through that phase. It's whether you come out the other side or not.
Yeah, it really is, you know, and sometimes it takes time because horses, you know, people who have horses, it's a lifestyle choice. And so people have to learn about the lifestyle and they have to decide if they're going to fit into the lifestyle or if they're not going to fit in. And as you said at the top here, it's often not a choice about who's the one to go.
It's when he goes. Yeah. So now let's ask that. How do you know? Well, first of all, let me do a couple generalizations about horse girls that I'll get emails about. But, you know, it was funny. We were talking to Denny Emerson yesterday. We had him on the Stable Scoop Show, and he's a very legend in eventing. And Denny will tell you the way it is. And I have a little clip I want to play tomorrow of Denny Emerson that kind of relates to this. Horse girls have this tendency to fall in love with everything that moves and the wrong type of horses and guys. And then they tend to latch on to them and hold on to them for too long, too. So I realize that's a terrible overgeneralization, but I've seen it too many times for
guilty.
It not to be a little bit true. Yeah, see there. So how
it is
how
true,
do you
and I
recognize
can tell you why that happens.
Time? Yeah, go
yeah,
ahead.
Yeah, well, it's true, and I can tell you why that happens. And I mean, honestly, people—not just horse people, but lots of people—they have this. They fall in love with the idea of someone, or they fall in love with the idea of the horse. You know, it's like this gorgeous horse. He's a great mover. He can jump the moon. Same thing with the guy. You know, he seems like he has everything right on the paper, and so they start to fall in love with the idea of them before they know about the reality of them. And then when the reality becomes clear, they're already head over heels and they're already sort of addicted to the situation, and then it becomes harder to make a good choice about it. And there's actually something in psychology called intermittent reinforcement, which is really fascinating. It's the idea that if, like, say, your horse or your guy treats you well only like 1 out of 5 times, you're actually going to keep going back for more because it's like you're waiting for the next hit. When are we going to have that great ride? When is he going to treat me like, you know, a princess? If people are nice to you or your horse is only nice to you some of the times, you actually get sucked in more strongly than if they're nice to you all of the time. It's how the human brain works. Can you believe that?
Wow, I didn't know that. Have you dated any kind of guys, Jamie?
Did you like one?
I said, have you dated those kind of guys?
Oh, my gosh. I look back on my life, Dr. Jen, and I'm like, what was I thinking? Like, I think what happens in those kinds of relationships, I'm going to get deep on you now, you know, is you start out as one person, and slowly but surely you start you know, compensating, or you just start kind of compromising, I guess would be a better word, and just little by little by little by little, and it happens so minutely slow that you end up completely a different person than you actually are. You know, the person you are is over here on the left, and who slowly become is over here on the right, and it's a breaking point that makes you go, okay, I don't like being this person anymore. This is not who I am, because you've dated somebody, you've been with somebody who's dangerous, you know, for you, and you just keep coming back to it. And so you have to decide who you are, and you have to have a little bit of, like, self-insecurity. There's so many insecure people, and I have been that person too. And so you end up totally different. But what really brings it back home is, for me, those relationships that I've been in, the best thing I could have done for myself is go ride my horse. Because it just makes you sort it all out, you know? So to me, horses win.
As long as your horse isn't one of those. As long as your horse isn't one of those too. Because what you're saying is, like we as long as your horse isn't one of those people, or horses that makes you twist yourself into a pretzel. You're talking about how you sort of twist yourself into a pretzel to sort of accommodate this relationship with another person until you don't, you know, until you can't even stand up straight any longer and you don't even like who you are. And then sometimes we have horses like that, right? I had a really, I'll be honest, I had a really neurotic, he was a Hanoverian Morab. I think there was just a little too much breeding going on in there. And he was the most neurotic horse I had ever met. And by the time I was done working with him, I was neurotic, you know? It was
really
I didn't like the person I became through being with him. And that's sort of what you're saying about these, you know, about dating these guys. It's like you don't even like the person you are around them. And so that gets back to Glenn's original question. You know, how do you know it's time and which one needs to go? You have to just be honest with yourself, and you have to ask the question, when I'm around this horse or this person, how do I feel the majority of the time? You know? Not how do I want to feel the majority of the time, or how do I hope I'm going to feel, but how do I really feel when I'm around this horse or this guy? And honestly, if we're comparing them, which one do I feel good around more of the time?
Right, right. And that just takes a little bit of self-evaluation. You know, you have to be able to step outside yourself and look honestly at the situation, because, oh, I love him, I think he's great, you know, or I love this horse, I think he's great. I fortunately have had much healthier relationships with my horses than with men before my husband came along. So I'm not on that other end of it. But that's interesting. I've definitely known a lot of women that have love-hate relationships with their horses.
Yeah, and it's the same thing like with a guy, and the damage that it creates that you then have to undo. Like this horse, he was really spooky, and so I lost a lot of my confidence. And when I finally let him go to a better home for him, there was a lot of damage I had to undo that I wouldn't have had to undo if I didn't stay so long, you know. So I think women have – I don't know, Glenn, let us know about guys. I don't know if it's –
Well, that's what I was just
going to
say. I was just going to bring that up. I was just going to say, let's take a look at it from the guy's point of view. When you're coming into a relationship with a horsewoman, by the way, you've never even ridden a horse before, and now all of a sudden you're dating a woman who, you know, loves the four-legged creature more than she does the two-legged one, and always will, and you start to realize that it's tough as a guy to deal with the fact that you're always going to be number two. That's a tough thing to You do, and a lot of guys do, and that's how we end up horse husbands. But, you know, and then we decide, do we want to play along or not? And, so, you know, some of us don't, and some of us do to some degree or another. And your husband happened to a great degree, rides and competes and does what you do. And, you know, Jamie's, you know, he takes care of the barn. I wouldn't say he's ever going to be a competitive rider, but he plays along, and I do as well. So that's a tough point. I think that you also, as a boyfriend, get to a point where you have to decide, can I handle this or not? And it's a tough decision.
Yeah, it is. And before I go there,
let me add to that, especially if the sex is good. Just want to add that.
Exactly. You know, well, you know what? Sex is it makes you blind. It's not love that makes you blind. It's good sex that makes you blind. And so
that's what my mom told me growing up. Don't do that. It'll make you blind.
Yeah. Different kind of blind, yeah. Before I answer that, I wanted to ask you, Glenn, because what we were talking about before we went in that direction is that women's propensity to get themselves into projects. Horses are men that are a project, you know?
Yeah.
And sadly, we can change a horse a lot better. We have a lot more hope of changing a horse than we do of changing a man. So, you know, you're thinking about, you know, is this relationship with this horse or the guy really bringing me joy or heartache? You know, there's a little more room if it's the horse that's bringing you the heartache, because there's, you know, there's more room for changing the horse than the man. But do men tend to do that as much as women, where they're saying, you know, I see the potential here, and I'm going to go with the potential rather than the reality, because I think that's where we get into trouble, when we see the potential. You know, there's this beautiful, it's a beautiful, the bling, the four socks in a blaze, you know? We become blind over that.
I would love to say that you're giving us a lot of credit by even thinking we think that deeply at all. it still goes back to that sex comment, and then everything goes from there. And that's pretty much how men work. So, and it, you know, I think that we're needier, so we tend to want the attention. You know, I don't know that we overanalyze that. Either we're getting attention or we're not. And by the way, you talk about projects. I've been Jennifer's project for 24 years now. So,
she's done a good job.
Yeah, I'm still here. She hasn't dumped me yet. So I guess that's something. But I think that's true. I don't think, you know, I think that we just want, am I wrong there, Jamie? We're needy. That's what we are. Men are needy.
You know what? But women need stuff too. And just like Dr. Jen's saying, you know, we have the need to fix things. And I mean, I'm certainly being guilty of that in previous relationships. Like the musician that I dated. Okay, what do you call a musician who breaks up with his girlfriend? It's a joke. Homeless. Homeless. So, I have been that girl who put him up, you know, I'm like, oh, I can help him, I can fix him, you know, and then there's this person that you try to help, and then this person, oh, I can fix him, and I don't think it's a conscious decision, but with horses, it's definitely a conscious decision, you know, you get in relationships, is this true, Dr. Jen, in relationships, you might not know you're getting into that consciously, but with horses, we march right into it. Oh, I'm going to buy this rescue and I'm going to fix him.
Uh-oh. I think we lost Dr. Jen, actually. Jennifer, can you see if you can get Dr. Jen back? She seems to have disappeared.
No.
And she didn't hear your great monologue either.
I know. That was really good. Save that.
I know.
That.
It was really
mind.
Good. You know what's interesting is my family, it's kind of ironic in my family. We grew up not having anything to do with horses except the Amish and having to pass them all the time with the car. That was about the extent of our horse. And now two of my brothers, actually one of my brothers and one of my nephews and another member of our immediate family are all involved with horsewomen.
Yeah.
It just has worked out that way. It's kind of ironic how that worked out.
For the women in your life, that makes family gatherings a little less painful, because then you get to
true.
Talk about
they
horses.
They can talk to each other. That is correct.
Yeah. Because I'm thinking that would be awesome, because I get down there and they're like, so, how's that whole, you know, horse thing?
Horse thing.
Like, bless
true.
Her heart, Chad's mom just didn't know what to say. She came to visit the farm, and I'm like, hey, what do you think? You know, your son living on the farm, and we got this place, and we've been doing all this work. She's like, well, it's interesting. I'm like, interesting? This is awesome.
So she didn't quite approve, or what? Her man getting
too dirty
working too hard?
I don't want to say she didn't approve. I just don't think she understood. Like, I don't think that when you build, they understand, like, how much work it goes into building an arena and setting up stalls and taking care of horses. They didn't know, and they're very supportive and nice people, but I just don't think she understood the amount of work that her son has done for me and for this farm. So, anyway, Dr. Jen, I was going to say before, and I wanted to know if this is something that you see often, is women may not always know that they're going into a relationship to change somebody and to fix things, but they often know it with horses. I'm going to get a rescue mm-hmm. horse. I'm going to fix him. I'm going to train him. I'm going to fix him. And then sometimes they're unsuccessful there. Do you see that a little bit more often?
With horses or men?
With women, having both of these different, you know, approaches, they go into relationships not completely consciously aware of that they're going to try to fix the man. But they march directly into a relationship with a horse trying to fix the horse. Is that a bad thing? Is that something, you know?
It's not necessarily a bad thing, but it is an interesting question, and I would love to take a survey on that. And I would not be surprised to find that women who actually enjoy and go in search of the project horse, if they wouldn't also have a propensity to find themselves in relationships with project men. I wouldn't be surprised about that, because it tends to be like a personality trait. Like I'm looking to change or help or fix or be like a caretaker. And the good news is, when you're doing it with a horse, you're aware of it, right? So you know what you're getting yourself into. Whereas if you're doing it with a man, like you said, it's often not as conscious. And so how can we become aware that we might be getting into a situation where we're asking a person to change who they are? And I think that goes back to, how do you feel? If you're always paying attention to how do I really feel around this person, then you can, it's like a barometer. I call it a compass question. Because if you're always honest with yourself about how you feel with this horse or a person, then you can always make the right decision. It's when we're not honest with ourselves and we mislead ourselves because we want to either like them more, or we want to feel happier, or we want to feel safe, but we don't really. That's when we get ourselves into trouble, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and one of the things, but that we come back to, the thing that humans are worst at is self-analysis. We don't want to deal with ourselves. We would rather deal with somebody else's problem than our own problem.
That's true, and that's probably where we get these project horses. You know, it's really great to go get a project horse and throw yourself into all the extra time and attention that it takes to, you know, revitalize a horse like that, than to address what might be going on in the other areas of our lives. But yeah, I just think the wake-up call is when we notice that we're not feeling good, you know. And then especially if it's a horse or even a guy, I think the smart thing is if it looks like there needs to be some change, you know, you have to give yourself an action plan and a time frame, and you've got to stick to it. Because what happens in these things, right, is we can end up devoted. We can suck years of our lives into these relationships that aren't working, where we're just hoping something's going to change. You know, we don't really have an action plan, and we don't have a time frame in mind. And so before you know it, 6 months have gone by, a year has gone by. And so give yourself a time frame to see a change, commit to an action, and if there isn't any change with the horse or the man, then you've got to make a decision. You've got to be willing to move forward one way or the other.
Well, I think that about says it all. Robert actually has the ultimate answer, and he says on Facebook, if you stay single, none of this is a problem.
There you go. Well, you know, Glenn, I was thinking that you may have had the answer early on when it comes to the sort of jealous husband or boyfriend. You said, you know, about the sex thing. It may all come down to ensuring, you know, that maybe there's a little more sweetness in the equation for him. You know, it never
hurts. I like
hurts.
That. Sold. Two of those go, please.
Give it up, ladies. They'll stay around.
Sometimes.
All right. We give all the women in the audience now permission to leave the show and go see your boy. Yeah, we give you permission. Thank you, Darcy.
Well, you guys.
We appreciate it.
Bye.
Thank you so much. Where can people find out more about you?
They can find me at unitywithhorse.com, where there's a free report you can pick up about boosting your bond with horse. And so, yeah, check me out over there. I look forward to hearing from you.
All right. Sounds good. And you also have the Happily Ever After Holistic Healing Horse Ranch out there in Colorado. And Jennifer has posted a link to that as well.
Exactly. Well, we're doing some fun stuff this summer, so check us out.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Jen. We'll have you back soon.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, we went from castration yesterday to a sort of castration today.
No, I believe that you just gave me permission to go back to hang out with my husband, so I'm out of here.
Okay, you want me to read Black Beauty? I'd be happy to.
Oh, no, never mind. All right, play the song, and then we'll come back and read
Actually,
Black Beauty.
I completely didn't upload a song today. I completely forgot. So are you ready for Black Beauty? Here, we haven't played this in a while. Get Black Beauty ready.
Green on green makes black and blue. Wouldn't ride that horse if I were you. It's like walking on a hot, tight wire. Dynamite too close to fire.
Just hadn't played that in a while. So.
Okay, thank you for playing that. Does Feed XL want to bring us the daily reading of Black Beauty, Glenn?
Yeah, let's do that. Feed XL is the sponsor for the daily reading of Black Beauty today. And Feed XL right now has a new website. You've heard me talk about Feed XL before. Now it's time to go actually check it out. It's feedxl.com. You can learn if you're feeding your horse correctly by simply stopping in there. And you know what? It takes you only a couple of minutes to put in information about your horse and information about what you're feeding your horse, from hay to grain to every vitamin that you put in his mouth. And it's going to print out reports for you that show you whether you're doing it correctly, whether you're giving him enough of this or too little of that. And that is what FeedXL does for you, is it provides you the peace of mind to know that you're feeding your horse correctly. Plus, their new website has a ton of good free information on there. Stop over and find out about feeding your horse. You know, this is an area that we're not really formally trained in when growing up with horses, so they'll help you do that, and they do it very easily and very simply at feedxl.com. All right, so are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go.
This is a dramatic reading by Jamie Jennings of the English classic Black Beauty by Anna Sewell.
Chapter 14, James Howard. One morning early in December, John had just led me into my box after my daily exercise and was strapping my cloth on, and James was coming in from the corn chamber with some oats when the master came into the stable. He looked rather serious and held an open letter in his hand. John fastened the door of my box, touched his cap, and waited for orders. "Good morning, John," said the master. "I want to know if you have any complaint to make of James." "Complaint, sir? No, sir." "Is he industrious at his work and respectful to you?" "Yes, sir, always." "You never find he slights his work when your back is turned?" "Never, sir." "That's well, but I must put another question. Have you any reason to suspect that when he goes out with the horses to exercise them or take a message, he stops about talking to his acquaintances or goes inside their houses where he has no business, leaving the horses outside?" "No, sir, certainly not. And if anybody has been saying that about James, I don't believe it. And I don't mean to believe it unless I have it fairly proved before witnesses. It's not for me to say who has been trying to take away James's character, but I will say this, sir, that a steadier, pleasanter, honester, smarter fellow I've never had in this stable. I can trust his word and I can trust his work. He is gentle and clever with the horses, and I would rather have him in his charge than half the young fellows I know in these liveries around here. And whoever wants the character of James Howard," said John with a decided jerk of his head, "let them come to John Manley." The master stood all this time grave and attentive, but as John finished his speech, a broad smile spread over his face, and looking kindly across at James, who all this time had stood still at the door, he said, "James, my lad, set down the oats and come here. I am very glad to find that John's opinion of your character agrees so exactly with my own." "John is a cautious man," he said with a droll smile, "and it is not always easy to get his opinion about people. So I thought, if I beat the bush on this side, the birds would fly out, and I shall learn what I wanted to know quickly. So now we will come to business. I have a letter from my brother-in-law, Sir Clifford Williams of Clifford Hall. He wants me to find him a trustworthy young groom about 20 or 21 who knows his business. His old coachman, who has lived with him 20 years, is getting feeble, and he wants a man to work with him and to get into his ways, who would be able, when the old man was pensioned off, to step into his place. He would have 18 shillings a week at first, a stable suit, a driving suit, a bedroom over the coach house, and a boy under him. Sir Clifford is a good master, and if you could get the place, it would be a good start for you. I don't want to part with you, and if you left us, I know John would lose his right hand." "That I should, sir," said John, "but I would not stand in his light for the world." "How old are you, James?" said Master. 19 next May, sir." "That's young. What do you think, John?" Well, sir, it is young, but he is a steady man and is as strong and well-grown. Although he has not had much experience in driving, he has a light, firm hand, a quick eye, and is very careful. And I am quite sure no horse of his will be ruined for want of having his feet and shoes looked after. Your word will go the furthest, John, said the master, for Sir Clifford adds in a postscript, if I could find a man trained by your John, I should like him better than any other. So, Jane, Vlad, think it over and talk to your mother at dinner time, and then let us know what you wish. And a few days after this conversation, it was fully settled that James should go to Clifford Hall in a month or 6 weeks, as it suited his master. And in the meantime, he was to get all the practice in driving that could be given to him. I never knew the carriage to go out so often before. When the mistress did not go out, the master drove himself in the two-wheeled chaise. But now, whether it was the master or the young ladies or only an errand, Ginger and I were put in the carriage and James drove us. At the first, John rode with him on the box, telling him this and that, and after that, James drove alone. Then it was wonderful what a number of places the master would go in the city on a Saturday, and what queer streets we were driven through. He was sure to go to the railway station just as the train was coming in, and cabs and carriages, carts and omnibuses were all trying to get over the bridge together. The bridge wanted good horses and good drivers, and the railway bell was ringing, for it was narrow. And there was a very sharp turn on the station where it would not have been at all difficult for people to run into each other if they did not look sharp and keep their wits about them. And that was chapter 14. Tomorrow, chapter 15, The Old Ostler.
You got done before the music today.
That's pretty good. That was a short chapter. They're just kind of introducing you to James because he's going to be a key player later on in the book. So
okay, there we go.
And we are only two chapters away from the fire. No, the fire. We're still in Happy Fun World, but there's going to be, I'm sure, more of a body count in the two chapters from now.
This is Happy Fun World?
This is Happy Fun World. He's living at Berwick Park Square, Gordon's Place. He's all happy. This is awesome. It's just going to get better from here, sadly. Horrible. But that's okay. We're going
to
get through it together.
You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek, and the reader over there is Jamie Jennings. And Jennifer H. is kibitzing from the background today. Causing all kinds of trouble in the background today. And we have Lisa from the Chronicle coming up here very shortly. And also, we are going to be talking to Dan Stewart. So you want to hold on till the end of the show. Dan's going to be coming on with us, a regular guest here on Horses in the Morning as well. Of course, this show is sponsored by EasySignsOnline.com. Well, Jamie, there was a... there's another person traveling across the country.
Oh, no. More?
Yeah, I can't believe how many people are doing this. This guy's in a wagon, though, a covered wagon. He started out from Georgia, and he's traveling with a mission to Washington, D.C. And he has this big covered wagon, and on the side, by the way, he looks like a guy that would be driving a covered wagon, let me tell you. And on the side of his covered wagon, really big, is printed, going to D.C. to get answers for the small businessman. And he's really upset about all the regulations out there for the small businessman because he is a farrier, and he feels like all these regulations are just putting him out of business and costing him a ton of money. So he decided the best way to get the message out was to go the 800 miles in a covered wagon with a message written on the side, and he plans on going right down to the Capitol building before he gets arrested in Washington, D.C. You think the FBI is going to be coming out and checking the inside of that to make sure there's not bombs?
Oh, my God. I know this guy. I mean, I don't know him, but he's a farrier in Georgia. It's the Ralph Casey School of Horseshoeing in Georgia. This guy's, like, famous.
Well, apparently he's famous and pissed.
Wow, that's great, though. I think it's fantastic. My God. Oh, he's also been on a trip from Georgia to Arizona in 1989. Did you read that part?
No, I didn't see that part.
Apparently he did it another
time. Oh, Jamie, you're breaking up here. You're going to have to give us a call back.
Okay, bye.
Thanks. All right, I'm going to go to Lisa at the Chronicle with the Chronicle of the Horse Weekly Chronicle Report. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Glenn.
How are you? Do I sound okay? Because Jamie was just breaking up.
Yeah,
make sure
you sound
I sound
fine.
You.
Okay, yeah, good. I heard her breaking up just a little bit.
You sound terrific, too, Lisa.
Excellent.
Yeah, good. Hey, so you're going to do something today I love when you come on and talk about what nasty things you're talking about in the forums.
Yes.
You guys are known, obviously, as having the biggest forums out there. Everybody goes there to whine and complain. And every once in a while, you come on and tell us what's going on in there.
Yep. The forums are pretty interesting if you haven't ever checked them out, which is unlikely if you know anything about horses. You can access them on our website. It's chronofhorse.com/forum. And there's usually all kinds of good stuff. Again, if you've never been on there, which is very unlikely, there's lots of different topics. We have one for dressage, one for eventing, one for horse shows, hunter jumper stuff. We have off course, on the farm, hunting. It just goes on and on. And sometimes the forums are good. Sometimes there's sort of a real wealth of, there's a real wealth of knowledge on there. You can search for a certain product if you're looking to use it for your horse. But maybe what the forums are known even better for is this sort of funny, maybe sometimes gossipy, sometimes nasty, but also sometimes really funny topics.
Okay,
so
tell us about them.
I did a little roundup today of some of my particular favorites. On the dressage forum, we have a spinoff from a thread about riding attire for the summer. And earlier this week, we had a little column in there by Megan, who is one of our former interns who stayed on for a little bit longer. She wrote about what not to wear in the summer, and she sort of said, try not to look trashy. Don't wear low-rise jeans that are too low. Don't wear, spaghetti strap tank tops, things like that. And this somehow spawned a spinoff, which is called Naked Dressage. And one of the users...
I missed that?
I know, right?
Where was that again? I'm going look.
This is under the dressage forum.
Okay, good. Are there pictures?
No pictures yet.
Oh, darn. Okay.
But
we
have the user called Velvet, who's a big poster on the dressage forums, says, who thinks this class would be a boon to dressage, meaning we draw more people out to watch the sport?
I do. Robert does. We both do.
And then she said, who thinks it would chase people away?
No. We'll be there. Horse husbands will line up. We will pay money to see dressage.
So this is something you think you'd be into?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, you should get on there and comment then.
Horse Radio Network will sponsor the class, and we'll put up big bucks.
So people sort of commented, some people said, yeah, it seems like a terrible idea. But then some other people said, I guess there was another thread on the dressage forum earlier this week about rider weight in the United States and how people are sort of thinking that it's a problem, overweight dressage riders. And so there's a little controversy with those two threads going together. Maybe doesn't seem like the best idea.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah. So that was a good one that's on there right now. We have another one on the dressage forum. This is an example of maybe one of the nastier things. It's called, Did the Roth family Run Out of Money? And if you go on there, you can watch sort of a simultaneous video. It's Totalist doing his old freestyle with Edward Gall and then with his new freestyle with his new rider. And they're very, very similar. And so basically people are commenting, is he really cheap? Could he not afford to make a more, like a newer freestyle? Even though it has different music, it's basically the same choreography. So some people said...
Well, you know what, though? If you look at it that way, he was winning with the other choreographer.
Right.
I mean, why change it?
Right. Why fix it if it's not broken? So then on the eventing forum, we have a good example of sort of an educational thread. This one is just called Ditches! ! And someone says, I'm thinking about starting my horse over ditches. What's the best way to do it? And so there's lots of comments on there about that. Some people say bring them down to the trot, get behind the motion a little bit, try to sort of kick them over. Other people say build a faux ditch in your ring with maybe some poles and a tarp. Other people say, to introduce them to a regular ditch but let them walk up to it the first time. So lots of different opinions.
Jennifer used to We used to do something. What did we do at the farm, Jennifer, for ditches? We used to do something. I don't think we had one, did we?
Well, we would just start them out with a swale, which is nothing more than a slight indentation in the ground.
Yep.
And we would just start them out with a swale, and then you put a rail on one side of the swale, and then you put a rail on the other side of the swale, and then you find a swale that you can take the turf out of the bottom, because it's just the change in color of footing that sets most horses off. And we were very lucky in that we had so much open space out there. There was a lot of variety available.
Well, you know what? I just did my first ditch this past weekend up at Coconino, and I've always been very nervous to do ditches. They're kind of my one emotional, like, oh no, freak out. And I've had one instructor before when I was in Georgia made me actually walk the horse. It was kind of a swale thing, like Jen said, just like a scoop out of the ground, and made me actually walk the horse up and make him put his front feet in it. And I was quite uncomfortable with that. I was like, I don't want him to ever think he can go in it at all. But then my coach this past weekend had a whole different idea. She said that when horses are afraid of things, they don't want to look at it.
Right.
Like, you know, they kind of like look away, like your dog looks like a cat kind of thing.
Kind of pretend like that's there.
Yeah. Avoid it. So she made me actually walk him up to it and circle it both directions with his haunches in, so his hindquarters were closer to it, because they don't want to look at it, but they have to look at it that way, because they look down, make sure they're not going to step in it. So anyway, that was kind of the way, and my horse went right up to him, popped over, no problem. So
yeah, I think ditches are one of those things. I mean, I think, you know, maybe people are always more scared of ditches, because I did my first ditch on my horse a couple of weeks ago. And we had a lead over. It was just a little, like, a faux ditch with the rails and the change of color in between. She just hopped right over. Then we got a lead over a real ditch, and she just hopped right over that, too. But I was, like, you know, more nervous about that than pretty much anything we'd done the whole day.
I think it's the unknown of how they're going to jump. Like, either they're going to, like, barely jump it, or they're going to skyrocket over that thing, or they're going to stop, or they're going to freak out in midair and bolt.
Right. And I always have this fear of them falling in the ditch, which probably happens very rarely, especially if it's a really shallow one. But.
Exactly.
So that was a good one on the eventing forum. There's a good one right now on the Hunter Jumper board about, I'm sure you've talked about this probably, Georgina Blumberg's new book called The A-Circuit.
Mm-hmm. You know, we haven't actually brought it up on the show yet. I saw it was out, and we haven't gotten a review copy. We're supposed to be getting a review copy, so we have not talked about it yet.
Yep. Well, there's a super long thread about that, sort of talking about how similar her life seems to be to the person who is in the book, which is kind of interesting. And then, you know, people are talking about things that are wrong about it, like the cover doesn't look right. You know, it's hard with all those horse books, even though you have horse people working on them to make them totally accurate. So that's a nice long one on there as well that's very entertaining because it gets pretty snarky. And let's see, what else do we have on here that's good? This one's kind of scary. Someone is talking about, this is on the off-course forum. They said, how common are ground accidents in your experience? And this person talks about grooming her horse in the cross ties. The horse spooks, rears, breaks the cross ties, and basically falls against her, pinning her against the side of the, well, it sounds like it's a wash rack. And she said she was okay. She had an insane headache, major whiplash, what looks like carpet burns on her face. And she's basically asking, how common are ground accidents like that? And it's, you know, people respond with, getting trampled or trying to put a bell boot on their horse and getting stomped on, and it's just one of those scary things. But I guess probably there's some good public service announcements in there as well.
You have to keep things safe, so that's a good one to go read too. Well, listen, Liz, Lisa, it's been awesome having you on again. We will have to have you on again next week, obviously.
Yep.
And everybody, check out cronofhorse.com. These forums are, I mean, they're classic reading.
Yep.
Because it's like being a voyeur reading all these horse women talking about each other to each other, and some of them get snarky and nasty, and some of them are funny. So check it out at cronofhorse.com. Lisa, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much.
Congrats
Bye,
on your
Lisa.
First ditch.
Thank you.
It's a day when you jump your first ditch, Glenn.
I know.
It's kind of big.
I know. I remember seeing Jennifer training for ditches a few times and the horses not being very happy about it. And it was always a big day. It was always happy time for the horse husband when the horse actually went over the ditch for the first time. It was always a good day for me, too. Yeah. Wife was happier. It all goes back to that previous conversation. It all relates.
If mama's happy, everybody's happy. If mama ain't happy, nobody's happy.
You know, it always relates. It always relates.
I was trying to think of how many times you've mentioned the word or alluded to the word sex today, and it is higher than average. I'm not going to lie.
Well, you know, you get talking to Dr. Jen. She usually brings it up first, though. You know, she does, I have to say, but she usually brings it up first. By the way, I wanted to say to everybody, too, if there's a show we don't talk much about is Horse Tip Daily. Dr. Jen is one of our contributors to Horse Tip Daily, and we've done maybe a dozen tips on there with her. And Horse Tip Daily is approaching 500 tips now. So you can spend a lot of time whiling away the day with I think it's almost 75 different experts on Horse Tip Daily now. So go over, check that out, horsetipdaily.com. It's very short, usually 8 to 10 to 12 minutes a day. And completely different every day. It can be tips from accounting to love to horse training. Anything that does with the horse world, you'll find on Horse Tip Daily. So you'll find that over at horsetipdaily.com.
Cool. That's a great one. Yeah, well, not to be whatever, but it's kind of a short one. You know?
Yeah.
It's
much shorter than our show.
I know. And it's kind of focused on one thing at a time. So anyway, hey, Glenn, I think I sent you a link, and it might not be correct, but what I want you to do is I want you to post. You can go to YouTube. Can you go to YouTube right now?
Yep. I got your link. I just went there.
I don't think that link works, or maybe it does.
The link worked. Oh, okay.
This is a video from a horse trial, and I want you to post it online. There's a girl on cross country, and she's riding her gelding on cross country. And I felt that this video was incredibly important, being that we have Daniel Stewart on with us today. And he is a wonderful coach he kind of helps you with the mental aspect of riding. And in his clinics, he teaches you a lot about what to do when something happens on course. You know, he calls it the duck because apparently...
This isn't just something.
No, look, I'm getting to it. So what he says is there's something that happens on course. You know, one run rider had a duck fly up and from in the middle of a water jump. So now he calls it, what is your duck? What is the one thing that happens when you're riding that makes you lose focus? So he's very into keeping you focused. And I want to get his opinion about this video because... posted online. This is insanity. There is a girl. She is riding cross country. She's got her penny on. She's obviously in the middle of a competition. And this happened at Woodside Horse Trials in May of this year. She's out riding cross country. And explain what you saw.
She's out riding cross country. And apparently somebody's horse got loose, and dumped the rider or whatever. And this gray horse starts chasing this poor young girl who's just riding around the cross-country course, this obvious, probably a stallion you would think, starts chasing this other girl who's still riding her horse around the cross-country course, basically trying to do the sex thing. How disturbing is that when you're trying to ride the cross-country course and you're being chased by a stallion?
Yes, this is clearly a stallion because he's trying to mount the gelding that she's sitting on. So they don't care. They have to stop the whole thing. Obviously, the thing is she handled it awesome. The horse is coming after her, and she's, like, trying to shoo it away. And she's actually hitting it, trying to hit it in the face with her crop, like, to get it off of her. Like, get away. It's so fantastic. It's a great video,
now,
and she kept her composure.
In a case like that at a lower level, obviously they let her get back on and keep going because you can't penalize somebody for that, can you?
You know, I would love to know what the ruling is on that. Obviously, probably from the moment she jumped the last fence, they'll stop the time.
Yeah, because, this is definitely an out-of-the-ordinary obstacle.
Yeah.
It's one thing when a little chihuahua chases you and barks. It's another thing when you got a stallion trying to hump your horse.
Yes, it sure is. Well, you know what, Glenn, we have Daniel Stewart on the line right now to tell us about this. Daniel, I know you've seen this video. I saw people had posted it to your page. Is this the world's biggest duck?
This is the world's biggest duck. Yeah, that's exactly. And I loved what people had posted on my page. I think that's what the caption was. Is this horse a duck? It doesn't have feathers and it doesn't quack, but is it a duck? I can't think of a bigger duck.
So this kind of situation, obviously you help people in your clinics maintain, you know, kind of staying focused and staying competitive. What the heck would you tell this rider?
Well, you know, for your listeners, I wonder if maybe we should explain what the duck is all about. I imagine some of your listeners are like, wait a second, that's not a duck. It's a horse. It's a stallion. He's thinking of another story. So if you'd like, a couple of years ago, one of my riders was going cross country, and she was doing great. She was on time. Everything was working according to plan. And then out of nowhere, she got hit in the chest by this huge, massive duck. You know, there was like feathers flying everywhere, the duck's on the ground flopping around. And then my rider did what, you know, that is obviously understandable. She kind of freaked out, lost her focus, got completely distracted, and pulled herself, you know, out of the class that day. I just think it's a neat way of connecting the dots that riding is a whole lot more than, you know, just below the ears. It's a lot about what happens between the ears as well. So I just thought the duck story does a really good job of connecting the dots between, you know, developing ourselves both as a physical and mental athlete. So anyways, there's the duck story for those listeners that weren't familiar with it.
So again, it goes back to my question, what on earth would you do to help this poor rider, this poor girl?
It's interesting because in this situation we have a challenge, and you know, I think if you recall in some of our
really?
Previous meetings, oh yeah, this is a challenge. But if you recall in previous meetings, one of the most positive things that we can focus on are emotions or words that start with the letter C. We can say, I'm calm, cool, collected, confident, courageous, centered, capable, competitive, consistent, cute, crazy, whatever it is. But the letter C tends to start a whole lot of positive riding emotions. I think one of the most positive riding emotions of all is challenge. In this case, it's a C word. It really is. It's a challenge. So this young rider, she had a choice at that particular time. She could have taken on the challenge and said, "All right, this is going to be amazing. If I can get through this with a gray stallion helping my horse, I can get through anything." Oftentimes in our riding life, we're presented with the ability to overload ourselves, to, you know, put ourselves in a situation where we are overloaded emotionally, physically, mentally. She was definitely overloaded in that situation. What I loved about her is that she didn't get cranky. She didn't get frustrated. She didn't look around for somebody to blame. She didn't look around to be upset at somebody. Whose horse is this? Where is this horse? Where's its horse's owner, that sort of thing. She just really calmly did her downward transition and then helped to catch the horse. She wasn't trying to blame. She wasn't trying to, she didn't go over to the dark side and feel disappointment, frustration, and that sort of thing. She just took it in stride. I thought that was great. So she can now use this in the future as a form of overload. She can literally say, if I can get through a situation with such a challenge, in the future, everything's going to be easy in comparison. So my advice to that young rider would be to give yourself a pat on the neck, just like we do with our horses so often. Give yourself a pat on the neck and say, you know, I handled that unexpected challenge really well. You know, I think, in all honesty, after watching it, I think it would be unreasonable to expect that young rider to continue. I think it would be unreasonable because I think you could see her horse kicking at the stallion. I think that that the situation was slightly out of control, and I think that if she just ignored it, you know, she just avoided the problem, which is another sports psychology technique, avoidance. If she just avoided it, I think that there's a potential of it turning bad. A horse getting hurt, a horse running away, that sort of thing. The way that she handled it, I thought that she took a second, she calculated the risks, she weighed the positives and the negatives. And I think what she did, I think, was great. I think she took control of the situation. She calmed it down. She lessened the potential for injury to both horse and rider. And then in the end, she tried to help remedy the situation by capturing the stray duck. And so in the future, I'd say give yourself a pat on the neck, because she was exposed to a very, very unpredictable challenge, and instead of avoiding it, she went and she devised quickly a plan, which I thought was a very mature plan. Looking at that young rider, I thought she handled it in a very mature way. So my advice is, in the future, remember how well you handled adversity, remember how well you handled a challenge, and know in the future that you have these great mental strengths to get you through anything. If you can get yourself through that, everything in the future will feel easy in comparison. So anyways, kudos for her. Good for her. What a great young rider. I sure like to see things like that.
Yeah, I do think she should negotiate a free breeding to that stallion, too, because, my God, he was gorgeous. So hopefully she has a mare back home. You know, I got you 10,000 hits on YouTube for this stallion. I want a breeding.
You know, it's funny because as riders, we always tend to, we're not even as riders, but as athletes or as humans, you know, we have this tendency to always want to do what we're really good at, you know, and to avoid, you know, things that make us uncomfortable. Obviously, that young rider was, you know, thrown in the fire. You know, she was put in a situation where she was made uncomfortable. So instead of avoiding it, trying to run away from it, she embraced it and overcame it. You know, I remember when I was a little boy, you know, the sitting trot always made me really uncomfortable. So I developed the greatest plan. I just posted, you know, and everything was fine. What I did is I identified a challenge, but I didn't live up to that challenge. I didn't run after it. I didn't chase after it to try and overcome it. I just avoided it. And I think a couple of years later, you know, when I matured, I figured out that the sitting trot is an integral part of being an equestrian. It's part of our half halt. It's part of all of our disciplines. So then what I did is I ran after. Then I said, somebody really help me with his sitting trot. So as riders, we have a choice. We can identify challenge. We can run away from it like she could have, or she can embrace it and say, well, this is an opportunity for me to prove that I am a capable, mature rider. So I've always said that in order to improve, you have to get comfortable at being uncomfortable. And when you think about that, that truly is the recipe for success. If the sitting trot makes you uncomfortable, just keep doing it, just keep doing it, just keep doing it. Expect to be uncomfortable for a while. Just expect to get, you know, comfortable with being uncomfortable, because if you embrace that challenge, over time you overcome it. You feel the rewards that come with that. So once again, she definitely did. She definitely got comfortable at being uncomfortable throughout that 30 or 40 second little period there, didn't she?
She did, and I was definitely proud of her. And then, you know, to basically hop back on and giddy up and go finish the course, she did a great job. Now, I have another question for you. We're going to talk here in a moment about your seminar that you're hosting tonight. But since I have you on the line, I have this friend who is doing her first horse trial with one of her new horses coming up here in a couple weeks. I know her very well. It's me. So, I couldn't even lie to you. I can't lie to you, Daniel. So I've got a new young horse doing his first horse trial coming up, and there's a lot of people in this situation. You don't know what to expect, when it's going to happen. And before we talk about your seminar, I'm nervous about it. I'm terrified about it, but I'm going to do it. What advice do you have for me to help try to get over being so nervous?
Can I give you some really, really easy things to do? How about this? Two really very simple things to do, all right? You know, obviously, you know, there's a ton of things that we can do, but I think these two, they're going to require a little bit of homework, but you have the time to do it. I'm pretty sure that in the past I've spoken about the power of music. When you think about your favorite song, when you think about waking up one morning, you're in a bad mood, you're unmotivated, and then your song starts playing, that song can motivate us. It can wake us up. It can empower us and that sort of thing. So my first advice to you is between now and that point, come up with a song that you can either sing to yourself or listen to that motivates you, that empowers you, that creates feelings of self-belief and that sort of thing. I know that you go to my Facebook page sometimes to watch this. It's just about as much fun as watching the gray chase that poor girl around cross country. On my Facebook page, there's a link to a helmet cam video of another young rider. And so this young rider, she's a great young rider, but she's been a bit tentative, or she's a little tentative as a rider. So I open up my Facebook page, and it says, the caption is, "Coach Stewart, thank you so much for telling me about songs. It's really helping." So then I watch her helmet cam video, and it's great. You can see the horse's ears. You can see the jumps approaching. You can even see her hands following her horse's movement. It's really great. Then the audio kicks in, and she's singing, "Don't worry about a thing, because every little thing is going to be all right." So for 4.5 minutes, you got to watch it. It's the coolest thing. For 4.5 minutes, this young rider sang reggae. She's singing Bob Marley on cross country, and she rode awesome. So the horse jumps. She reaches forward. She gives him a big pat on the neck, and she's like, "Don't worry about a thing, because every little thing is going to be all right." And it was amazing how that song pulled the emotions out of her. So on course, she could do what many of us are taught to do, say, "I am confident, I am confident, I am confident, I can do this, I can do this, I believe in myself." She could have done the positive affirmation sentence, but you know what she figured out? She figured out that music has a way of pulling something greater out of us. So many of my riders, they'll come up with, their song. What I'd recommend is between now and your competition, come up with your song. So is it "I Will Survive"? I will survive. Is it "Staying Alive"?
I got it in my head, because every time I sing this song, it makes me excited. I got a feeling, woohoo, that tonight's gonna be a good night.
I can't
sing it all.
So you know what? That's the point. Is this little thing is not supposed to be very hard. So here's the tool. Come up with a song. Most of us already know what that song is. Most of us already know it motivates us. Most of us already know that it pumps us up. And most of us already know that in order to ride our best, we have to be motivated and pumped up. We just forget to connect the dots. We just forget to think, "This song puts me in a good mood. This song makes me feel better. In order to ride my best, I must feel good and be in a good mood." So everything is there. We just need to connect those dots. Let's connect the song to the ride. So this is what I want you to do. With that song, believe it or not, I want you to pull it out of your playlist, and I want you to stop listening to it. I want you to, I want you to take it away. Here's the point. I had a favorite song. I made it my ringtone on my phone, and after like a week, I couldn't stand the song anymore, and I completely ruined my great song because I overheard it. I listened to it too much. Pull it out of your playlist, and then when you're focusing on your ride, let's say that you're going to take a couple deep breaths and you're going to visualize your ride, okay? You're going to go to an area with little distraction. Close your eyes, visualize your ride. It's then that you pull the song out. It's then that you use that song at that same time to connect it to your ride. So every time you're thinking of riding, you think of the song, but you don't listen to the song every time you're jogging or every time you're in the car. You literally respect the song at another level, and it's just saved for your riding. And if you can do that and avoid overplaying it, the power stays strong in the song. Then what you'll do is you'll tell yourself, "All right, as I drive up to the venue, I get to listen to it once. As I'm grooming, I get to listen to it once. And right before I go into warm-up, I get to listen to it once." And you literally kind of, you put it so that you don't overplay it. Did you want to say something, Glenn?
Yeah. Well,
no,
unfortunately,
I'm,
Okay. Are you taking notes, Glenn? I want to make sure that we're going to have time to talk about your clinics. Obviously, your website, stewartclinics.com, we've posted that on our Facebook. First of all, thank you so much for the great advice. I'm definitely going to do that. I'm going to check out your website for some other hints and some other – I have a friend who rides with you quite a bit, so I'll talk to her a little bit more about it too. But please tell us about these clinics, because I think what you're doing is great, because you're going to reach so many people.
You know, I agree, and I'm not so sure why it took me so many years to figure this out. I think both of you know that every weekend I fly to a different part of the country. Perhaps I go to 50 cities or 60 cities a year, but for every city I go to, there's two or three cities that have asked me to come, but unfortunately they have such a small group of riders, they can't really afford to bring me up there. So for years I've been saying, I apologize, I'd love to, but I can't really afford to fly up there because, you know, you have a very small group of riders. So what I'm doing now, I have three programs. They're all online using Skype, iChat, or a great program called WebEx. So what can happen now are, you know, groups of riders from really remote areas of the country, they can now online watch a seminar with me, an equestrian sports psychology seminar. It's not a canned seminar. It's not videotaped and played over and over again. It's an actual live seminar with me. So a group in northern Wisconsin can actually, on a Friday night, speak with me, talk to me, have my seminar with me, and then afterwards do a question and answer live with me. And what it does is it just gives groups of riders who deserve this information but who may live rurally or off the beaten path of clinicians and that sort of thing, it still allows them the ability to hear this great information. So the first programs I have are seminars for groups. So if you have a pony club or a 4-H club that is small in a remote area, then go to my website and sign up for a seminar, and I'll teach it to your 4 or 5 pony clubbers or your 4 or 5 hunter jumpers that evening. The other thing I'm doing is this equestrian sports psychology seminars just for the public. Once a month I'm going to set up a seminar like you noticed on my website. And for anybody from around the world can join us. Tonight we have a girl from Australia joining us. And that's just a sports psychology seminar for the public. And then the last program I have, and I've had this for a year or two now, is an equestrian sports psychology cat group. Just groups of riders from around the country, I separate them into ages and disciplines, and once a week we meet for 45 minutes and we just chat about sports psychology. You know, I'll say, you know, we'll talk about songs, and then from this week until next week, their homework is to come up with a song. Next week, they'll tell everybody else in the chat group what their song is, and we'll all benefit from that. So thank you for mentioning that, because there's so many great people, great riders in this country that deserve to hear, you know, things like equestrian sports psychology. But if they're off the beaten path, or if they don't have the, you know, if they're limited financial means, they can't fly me to their part of the country, they all now have the ability to hear some pretty great equestrian sports psychology tools.
I knew we'd drag you into the 21st century. I knew we'd drag you.
I was kicking for a while too. I swear, I had about as much trouble with the internet as I had with VCRs, microwaves, with all of these things. But hey, 21st century looks pretty great because you know these great tools can be, you know, we can reach out to kids and adults all around the country who, like I said, who deserve this great information, but you know are not on the airplane stop of you know the United States clinicians like myself. So now they can get the information without having to leave their own homes. I think that's great.
Where can they sign up?
They can sign up at www.stewartclinics.com. That's plural, stewartclinics.com. If they're on my Facebook page, they can also sign up through there. And I also have a monthly newsletter that I send out. So if anybody wants, they can go to stewartclinics.com, send me a quick email, and I'll add them to my newsletter page, and they can sign up to the newsletter as well. So, yeah,
right.
21st century. I'm working on a computer a great deal more than I ever thought I would. But
you what, Dan, you're going to be hosting a radio show before long.
Oh, good, Glenn. Oh, that sounds great. That's just because I have an extra 38 seconds in my 24-hour day that I just don't know what to do with. So, yeah.
It's going to be a short show, a very short show. Thank you, Dan. We appreciate you being on today.
Good talking to you again. Have a great day.
All right. Good luck with the seminar. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
He's the most positive, happy guy. Oh, my gosh. I just love listening to him. He makes me want to go out and ride my horse right now.
All right. Well, we'll let you do that because we're at the end of our show. We have to say goodbye. So be sure to listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. Chris has a couple coming out today. The Eventing and the Dressage Show will be coming out today. I want to tell you a little bit about the Dressage Show tomorrow, too, because she did something fun with it that she hasn't ever done before. And also, you can follow us on Facebook. Just search for Horses in the Morning. Most of you were on there already. And thanks for all the activity on Facebook today. It's a busy place. And also on Twitter at Horse Radio. And guess why I was so quiet there? I just want to throw this in before we end.
Did you watching the videos that these boys posted?
Nope. I was filling out the application for the Greyhound.
Yay! For both of them?
Now, I haven't hit the submit button because I have to get permission to do that because I'm married, you know, is that little thing. So
guess what discussion we're
having right after this.
So no post-show meeting. You're going to hit the submit button to get a dog. That's funny. Well, good luck. I hope you do get, I mean, you know, two is always better than one, Glenn, and these puppies are both so cute. So go ahead and get them both. They'll keep each other company.
Oh, yeah.
That'd
be great. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. That's it, everybody. Hey, Jamie, I have a special song. I don't like the song that you picked for yourself, so I picked one for you, and we'll just play out the show with it. Say goodbye, Jamie.
I don't know about this. Bye, Glenn. Bye, everybody.
Yada, yada, yeah, yada, yada.
I'm a winner, right?
We love you, yada. The paddock is crowded, and yada, no.
Now this is gonna be in your head the rest of the day.
But as the bed moves and she gets down low, yeah, the big mama knows how.
Bye, everybody.
And yada, you're gonna be last from the gate.